All right, take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke and chapter number 2. The Gospel of Luke and chapter number 2 for just a few moments this morning as you pray for us. I've never preached a message right after Christmas like I'm going to attempt to preach this morning, but I felt like it's what the Lord had placed upon my heart for the service. And the class I was in Sunday school this morning, it was out of the Gospel of Matthew about the wise men and how they came to where he was and worshiped him. And going to talk a little bit about some things similar to that as well this morning and maybe even tonight if the Lord wills. Lord, this placed a thought upon my heart, and I want you to think about it this morning. We're going to look at the shepherds for just a little while. Now, last week, for those that were in the service last Sunday morning, of course, we looked and had the thought, of course, no room in the inn, making room for the Savior. And I pray that each of you have made room in your heart and in your life for the Savior, for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll look at the shepherds for just a few moments this morning with this thought in mind. Christmas is over. Now what? Christmas is over. Now what? I want you to think about that this morning for just a few minutes as we look at these shepherds. And I want to give you about three brief things about these shepherds that the Lord showed unto me that I pray will be a blessing and a help to each and every one of us this morning. So if you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Very familiar Scripture as far as the Scripture is concerned. We shared even in the play last Sunday evening, and we see it portrayed year after year after year, and certainly it doesn't ever get old to me, and I pray it doesn't ever get old to you. Thinking about the birth of our Savior, and certainly the reason that he came was simply to go to the cross and be the sacrifice for our sin, to be our Savior. And so again this morning, let us think about Christmas is over. Now what? Let's look at verse number 8 here in Luke chapter number 2. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." I guess I would have been too. "And the angel said unto them," now notice now, "fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven," now notice, "the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste," notice that, "and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it," notice it starting in verse 17, "and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart." But notice verse number 20 also today. Verse number 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for this Lord's Day that, Father, we've been able, Lord, to gather back into your house, Lord, hear the teaching of the Word of God, to hear the beautiful singing, Lord, and all that's already been done. Father, in your name this morning, Lord, I thank you. And I I praise you for it. I thank you for your precious word. Now I pray, Father, this morning as I stand in this place, I realize I stand in a place where no man can stand alone. God, I pray for your anointing, for your fresh touch right now upon my heart, my mind, and my mouth. God, I pray you to help me to say those things, God, that you placed upon my heart for this hour. Then, Lord, I pray that ears and hearts be open and receptive to what you have for us from the Word of God this morning, especially, Father, that one that could be here today. Lord, they've never trusted you as Savior. I pray, oh dear God, I pray that the convicting power of God would fall upon their hearts right now, even today. And God, this very hour, Lord, they'd walk an aisle. God, trust you by faith as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, one cold and indifferent, Lord, one discouraged. Father, I don't know the needs today, but Lord, I know that you do. I just pray today that, Lord, you'll help us now through the Word of God. May each of us now, Lord, submit and surrender ourselves, Lord, to you and to your Word and to your will. Lord, you're worthy of our worship and our praise and our adoration. Thank you for all that you've done. Lord, thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. Bless now, I pray. And it's in Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Again, simply a very simple thought this morning, as we've already said today, Christmas is over. Now what? Christmas is over. Now what? I begin to think about it and ponder it, and the Lord began to deal with my heart. You know, with all the hustle and the bustle of the Christmas season and the Christmas day, and certainly all that's done, and now that it's passed, and the gifts have been exchanged, family gatherings have been completed, or for the most part completed, decorations are coming down, and life seems to maybe somewhat getting back to some kind of what we might call normal, whatever normal might be. But simply all the excitement, all the things that surround Christmas. And listen, I'm not preaching against that. It's a special time of year as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. But also, I thought about it in this sense. Christmas is over. Now what? So what do we do now? As we consider the shepherds, let us consider some things. I pray this morning that would help us to experience more than just a day. Too many people get tied up in the day instead of what the day is all about, and that being the birth of our Savior, not only his birth, but his life and his death, his burial, his resurrection. It's all about him this morning. But there's so much excitement, so many things that are done surrounding Christmas. But now what are we going to do now? If we're not careful, even coming into the house of God today, seems to be kind of, if we're not careful, a disappointment in there. All the excitement's gone. Listen, I'm still excited. I'm still excited this morning about my Savior. Why? Because not only was he born, not only did he die, not only did he rise again, but he's sitting at the right hand of God this morning to be my high priest, to be my interceder, to be my daysman, my go-between. And so this morning, Christmas is over. Now what? Now let's consider some things about the shepherds here this morning that I pray will be a blessing and a help unto us as we consider moving forward a new year. Of course, today and tonight will be the last services of this particular year. Wednesday night, we will start, services in a new year, and I hope you're making plans and preparations to be faithful to God in 2019, if God lets us see that, and just be faithful to him, because he is certainly faithful to you and I. Boy, and I'm so thankful for that. But let us consider now, Christmas is over. Now what, as we think about the shepherds, now I want you to notice, first of all, here now the shepherds, let's try to get into the story this morning. It's still part of the Christmas story, and I understand that. But also this morning, I want to go there, now to the hillside, and there's those shepherds there. They're minding their flocks. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're taking care of the sheep, and then all of a sudden, something happens in the lives of these shepherds. God intervenes in the lives of these shepherds. Can you remember a day when God intervened in your life? I don't like to use that word intervened as a bad thing. I'm glad God did intervene in my life. I'm glad, thank God, he come to where I was at. And so we find, first first of all, we find here the shepherds minding their own business, doing their own thing, and then suddenly there's something that takes place. Hallelujah, a baby's been born there in Bethlehem, and God wants somebody to know it. Hallelujah, and he comes to those lowly shepherds to let them know that my son, your Savior, has been birthed into this world, and I want somebody to know it. Thank God. Do you know today God still wants somebody to know it? Hallelujah. Thank God. He wants somebody. Christmas is over. Now what? Thank God. We need to keep telling the story. We need to keep lifting up the bloodstained banner of Calvary. Listen to me, friend. God is just as much God today as he was then. He'll be just as much God tomorrow and just as much God for all eternity. He is God. And so I want you to find, first of all, this morning, here in the lives of these shepherds, number one, I want you to see a personal invitation. We find here in the lives of the shepherds that there has been given unto them a personal invitation. Do you see it in the text there this morning as we begin to read in verse number 8? And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. Amen. Matter of fact, good news from a far country, if you will. Good news from a heavenly country. Notice that, if you will. Good tidings, good tidings, good tidings, good things. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Notice that. To all, not just to the shepherds, but to all people. And so we see here that God is giving the shepherds a personal invitation this morning. Thank God that he's still giving personal invitations to come and see the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So we find, first of all, in the lives of these shepherds, that God gives a personal invitation to the shepherds. Now I want to use this, the first part of this invitation, as far as the shepherds are concerned, talking to those that might be unsaved. There could possibly be somebody here today that's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I believe if you think about these shepherds, now the Bible doesn't say whether they were followers of God or religious or anything like that. It doesn't say. We don't know. But I will say this, that Savior came to save those shepherds. And that Savior came not only to save those shepherds, but he came to save me, and he came to save you, and he came to save, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why? Because mankind needed a Savior. And thank God, I'm glad that Savior was birthed there in Bethlehem. And so we see God gives a personal invitation to those shepherds. He wants them to come and see and experience this baby, this Savior that's been born in Bethlehem. Could I say to you this morning, friend, if you do not know Christ as Savior, that invitation is going out to you today. Oh, come and see. I realize we can't see with the physical eye, but by the eye of faith, aren't you glad that we can look upon the Savior today and be saved and redeemed by his good grace? Thank God for a personal invitation to come and see the Savior. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that day and hour that God knocked upon my heart's door and gave me a personal invitation to come and experience the Savior. I want you to notice some things about this personal testimony. Number one, God came to where they were. Y'all heard me this morning? Christmas is over, now what? There's a personal invitation that's been given. And notice that invitation to these shepherds. God come to where they were at. Now, they were they very possibly could have been rugged men. They could have been, listen, we don't know. They could have been great, outstanding men in the community. Most of the time, the shepherds were looked down upon. As you study about shepherds of that day, they were looked down upon. And matter of fact, the lowest of the low and all that. But friend, aren't you glad God didn't look down on them? Thank God God come to where they were at. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the day and hour. Thank God where God come to where I was at. Even in my sin, hallelujah, God come to where I was at. Why? Because He wanted me to know that there was a Savior that had been born, a Savior that had died, a Savior that had rose again and would save me and redeem me by His good grace. I don't know about you, but that excites me that a holy God would come to where I am, because I couldn't get to where He was. God come to where I was. Hallelujah. Let me know there was some good news. There was some good news. There was some good news. A Savior had been born. Hallelujah. Not only do I see this morning in this personal invitation, did God come to where they were? They were in their daily routine. They were keeping watch over their flock. It was night. And God came to where they were. Not only do I see, did God come to where they were in this personal invitation? He came to them how they were. I realize He sent the angel of the Lord, and I'm not going to get into all that this morning. God has His way of getting the message out to mankind that a Savior has been born. And so we see that in this invitation, He comes to where they were, and He comes to how they were. Notice the Bible says it was dark. Now, there could have possibly been had a little fire kindled up there. I don't know. But notice here now, these shepherds were to keep watch over this flock. By night. Why? Because the enemy. The enemy of those sheep were going to do anything they could to get in that sheep pen or to get to those sheep and destroy the sheep. And so we see that God in His invitation, His personal invitation to these shepherds, not only come to where they were, but He come to them how they were. I'm glad, thank God, He didn't say, well, now you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. There's too much of that today anyhow. Hey man, aren't you glad that God will come to where you are, how you are? You mean, preacher, He would come to me? Absolutely. Thank God I'm glad. Hallelujah today to the Lamb of God that would come where we were, how we were, and speak to us and give us some good news that a Savior has been born. Not only did He come where they were and how they were, but I want you to notice something else. He told them who to look for. I'm afraid today there's too many people looking in too many other different directions. For too many other, they're looking for religion. They're looking for this and they're looking for that. Listen, friend, the angel of the Lord comes to them, gives them a personal invitation, where they were, how they were, and says, here's who you need to look for. Now notice, He didn't say, look to the angels. Huh? Oh, no. Now, I believe in angels, and angels are biblical. Don't have time to preach on angels this morning. But I want you to notice, He tells them who to look for. You say, preacher, what do you mean in all that? I'm saying this morning we need to look for the Christ. We need to look for the Savior. And if you're here today without Christ today, my friend, He's the one that you need to look to. He's the one that you need to trust. He needs to be the one that you're searching for. Why? Because He's already searching for you. He's come to where you are. He's come to you how you are. He simply wants you and I to look to Him this morning so that we can know Him today as Savior. He wants you and I to know Him as Savior. Notice in this personal invitation, Yes, there's a baby born, but it's no ordinary baby. It's Christ the Savior. Christ, notice in verse 11, 4 and 2, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, a Redeemer, a Rescuer, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And there's a message just in the swaddling clothes. Lying in a manger. Now, could you imagine these old shepherd boys out there? Bible didn't say how many they were there. Man, at Christmas play, we had a whole row of shepherds across here. And Bible didn't say how many there were. Doesn't give us their names. Doesn't give us necessarily their condition. But it does give us this. That God came to where they were. So that they could get to Him. Y'all hearing me? Y'all with me this morning? Man, if that don't excite us, I don't know what will. God came to where we were so that we could get to Him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God this morning. I'm simply saying this. There was a personal invitation that went out. And there's a personal invitation that's still going out today. I love this verse of Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 11, verse number 28, where Jesus Himself said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Man, what a great verse of Scripture. So just like the angel of the Lord comes to the shepherds where they were, how they were, so that they could see who they needed to look to, the same invitation came out to me one day, and the same invitation is going out to the unsaved today. Come unto Me, and I'll give you rest. Now that's to the unsaved, to the saved. God's still coming to where we are, how we are. And still giving us opportunity and invitation, personal invitations, to come and to follow Him. Christmas is over. Now what? All the excitement, all that transpires, all that's gone now. Most of the kids have done wore the batteries out and all the new toys. Huh? Candy's still laid on the counter to eat yet. Christmas is over, now what? The same Savior that was born in Bethlehem is the same Savior that you and I should desire to follow today. Why? Because the invitation is still going out. Come and follow Me. How do you know? Well, He told those boys He's going to be disciples of Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 19. And He saith unto them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." There's still an invitation that's going out, a personal invitation going out to each of us, even that are saved today. Come and follow Me. Come and follow Me. Come and follow Me. And I will make you fishers of men. Christmas is over, now what? There's still people dying and perishing without God. That's what I'm saying. There's people that still need to know, yes, there was a baby born in Bethlehem, but that baby grew up as a sinless, perfect man and paid a debt that you and I owed. He owed nothing, but you and I owed that debt, that sin debt, and was willing to pay that sin debt. Christmas is over, now what? Well, there's a personal invitation. Secondly, not only do I see a personal invitation, now I want you to think about it. Shepherds out there minding their own business, doing their job, watching the sheep, and suddenly, out of heaven, they get a message. No wonder they were afraid. Huh? I mean, that's kind of like when God come knocking on my door. I mind my own business. Doing my own thing, but he come to where I was, how I was, so I could see who I need to look for. Now, I want you to think about it for just a second. Not only do I see the personal invitation, but second, I want you to see the personal encounter, the personal and private encounter that the shepherds got to participate in. Now, I want you to think about it for just a minute. They're out there minding their own business. The angel of the Lord comes to them, gives them the message. Now they have a choice. Now they have a choice to make. Will they go and heed the message, or will they stay where they are, how they are, like they are? You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because I believe there's people that hears the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God week in and week out, week in and week out, time after time after time, and they come in, they hear the message that God sends to them, and they go back out without doing anything about the message that was sent to them. And I've been guilty. Now, nobody else in here this morning probably would ever be guilty of that. But I've been guilty. God come to where I was, how I was, and shared with me who I need to look to. And there I had a choice to make. But I like the choice the shepherds made. The Bible says that they made haste. In other words, they got down to business. They didn't say, they didn't get no committee together. They didn't get the Shepherds Association over to the side and say, now, what do you think we ought to do about it? Hey, man. They didn't call for a deacon's meeting. Nothing wrong with deacons, nothing wrong with deacons, but they didn't call for a deacon's meeting. They didn't call for the Shepherds Association meeting. They made haste. God, hallelujah. God had sent them a message, and God had let them know that something had taken place, and they needed to be a part of it, and He wanted them to be a part of it, and He wanted them to experience what had taken place in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. Listen, my friend, He sent them a word, and the Bible says they made haste. They got on with it. Our problem, too many times God sends us a message. God sends us a word. God lets us know in our hearts what we need to do, and we sit around and ponder it. Now, the Bible says that Mary pondered these things and kept them in her heart. And there's times to ponder things, but there's also time for action. When's it time for action, preacher? It's time when God sends a message, when God gives a word, it's time for action. Think about this. What if those shepherds had said, I ain't fooling with that. Well, we'd have shepherds missing in our Christmas story, wouldn't we? Oh, thank you, Lord, for this thought. I wonder how many people that the Lord came through, even in His day and through the Scriptures, that God sent a message to, and yet they did not heed the message. You say, preacher, do you think there were people like that? I believe they were. Why? Because they don't even get mentioned here. But hallelujah to the shepherds. They not only had a personal invitation, but they got a personal and private encounter of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Notice in verses 15 and 16. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now even go into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. Didn't go to the king's palace. Wasn't a good place to go anyway, wicked King Herod. Didn't go to the king's palace. Didn't go down to the temple. He went to a hillside where some lowly shepherds were minding their own business, keeping watch over their flock, and God intervened in their life. Now they have the choice. Do I go or do I stay? People week after week sit in a pew, hear the gospel, God knocks on their heart, and it's like this is going on in their heart and their mind. Do I go or do I stay? Some of you may not have ever been there, but I have. Do I go or do I stay? God, you sent me a message. God, you sent me a word. Now, do I go or do I stay? Well, if you want a personal and private encounter with the Savior, then you might ought to make haste. Amen. Don't make waste. Make haste. Amen. That'd be a good title, wouldn't it? You write that down. I might preach that sometime or another. Make haste, not waste. Because we waste time after time, opportunity after opportunity, opportunity after opportunity, when we just need to make haste and get to the Christ. If you want a personal and private encounter, aren't you glad that God loves us enough that He would let us have a personal and private encounter with Him? Have you ever thought of that? I mean, God, as holy as He is and as unrighteous and undeserving as I am, would let me have a private and personal encounter with the Son of God. Christmas is over now, what? They get to have a personal and private encounter. Let me give you three things about this personal and private encounter. Now let's think about it back out of verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Number one, I want you to notice fear at the first encounter. You remember the first time God dealt with your heart? Now, I know there's probably, and I believe I've heard some people testify, but not very many, that got saved the first time God ever dealt with them. I didn't. Matter of fact, I went time after time after time, but it struck a chord of fear. Huh? Now, if you'd have been one of those shepherds there attending the flock by night, and God lit that place up like a Christmas tree around there, and the angel of the Lord began to tell you what had taken place, if you would say that you weren't afraid, then friend, you're a liar. I mean, most people are afraid of the dark anyhow. I mean, any little old thing at night, boy. You don't believe it. Lay down in your bed and somebody about beat your door down, you'll come out of there like a shot. But I want you to notice their first encounter, they were encountered with fear. But this is one thing I like about God. He didn't let them stay in that fear. What pull up here, boys? It's all right. Hallelujah. It's all right. We see fear at their first encounter, but God calms their fears. Notice again in verse 10, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. In other words, God said, I've got a good message for you. And not only for you, but for all people. I want you to notice their first private and personal encounter. There was fear. But secondly, I want you to see the fear, but secondly, I want you to see their faith in action. They had a choice to make. They could either believe God and go see, or they could reject God and miss out. I wonder today how many times we're missing out. How many times we are missing out by simply not operating in faith. We're still in the fear realm. God, I can't. Anybody ever said that? Sure. God, I just don't know. Let me reason this thing out. Well, if they'd spend any time reasoning that thing out, they'd have missed it. God had something for them right then. And God has something for you right now. Their personal and private encounter, number one, there's fear. But secondly, there's faith. They said, "What, boys, let's go check it out. Let's go see if this thing's real." Let's go see if there's anything to this. I wonder who kept watch over the flock while them boys was gone. You ever thought about that? Hey, their livelihood depended on them sheep. They were willing to leave the sheep. Who looked after the sheep? God took care of the sheep. Why? Because there was more important pressing issues ahead. Sometimes we're afraid to walk away. Oh my. Thank you, Lord. You just keep giving it to me and I'll keep giving it to them. Sometimes we're so fearful of walking away of what we're used to. Huh? Oh, yes. We want to stay in the status quo. Don't change anything. Who's going to take care of the sheep? What does it matter when you need to go see the Savior? There's people here this morning that needs to have a personal and private encounter with the Savior. You've been dealing with it long enough. You've been carrying the burden long enough. Hey, man. You've been living fearful long enough. How about just applying a little faith? Christmas is over. Now what? Praise God, it's time to get busy about God's work. It's time to have the personal and private encounters with the Savior. There was fear at first encounter. There was faith and action. They came with haste. But then notice something else about their personal and private encounter. Not only the fear and the faith, but then notice the fruit of their faith. Notice, if you will, in verse 16 and 17, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph. They weren't looking for Mary and Joseph, but Mary and Joseph had to be there. But here's what they found. And the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, don't miss this, notice the fruit of their faith. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. I find it interesting in verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. Do you see the fruit of their faith? Number one, they saw him. Is that right? They saw him. They saw him. They got a personal and private encounter with the Christ. Anybody ever had a personal and private encounter with the Christ? You know how you got there? You know how you got? Do you remember the Sunday you got saved, or Wednesday, or Monday, or Tuesday, or Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday, whenever it was, when it was morning, noon, or night? Do you remember when you got saved? I mean, you just made haste and got to the Savior, thank God, by faith. And when you got there, you got you a private and a personal encounter with the Son of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God this morning. But then it brought about a fruit. Christmas is over, now what? Trees are coming down. The decorations are coming down. Not at my house yet, but I'm still praying. Not happening. Hallmark's still showing Christmas. I don't know what you call them, movies or what you call them. Praise God, Christmas is over. Now what? They got a personal invitation, but they had a private and personal encounter. Oh, yes, there was fear, but that fear was overcome by faith. And they made haste, but then notice the fruit. They got to see the Christ child. Not only did they see, but I believe they believed. How could you have a personal and private encounter with a Savior, something as miraculous that took place there? How could you look upon that scene and hear what they had heard and not believe? And I believe there's evidence to their belief. Woo-hoo-hoo! The birth done taking place, now what? Oh, it's just going to get good now. The fruit of their faith, they saw, they believed, and they told. Christmas is over, now what? If you saw, if you believed, it's time to go tell. Because the same one that was birthed in Bethlehem is the same one that went to the cross. Because of a personal and private encounter, because of their willingness to be obedient to God's message, they got to see what a lot of people never got to see. They believed, and then they went and told. The sheep are still down there. They ain't worried about the sheep. I believe they start running all over the place. You ain't going to believe what we just got to experience. We have saw the Christ. We have seen the Savior. And we believe. Bible says they made known abroad. They went everywhere. Christmas is over, now what? Just keep telling the story. Just keep telling the story. Psalms chapter 34, verse number 8. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You know what them old boys got to do? They got to taste and see that the Lord is good. Why? Because there was a personal and private encounter. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in Him. Christmas is over. Now what? There was a personal invitation. There was a private and personal encounter. But then thirdly, I want you to see there were personal rejoicing. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Man alive, they got busy. Christmas over, now what? Get busy. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Notice in verse 20. And the shepherds returned. Now, it doesn't say when they returned, but they returned. Glorifying. You see it? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Christmas is over. Now what? They were just as excited after the birth. And by the way, the wise men didn't come along until a little later. I know that busts some of y'all's bubble, but they didn't come along until a little bit later. And those shepherds, they had something they had to tell. But not only did they have something to tell, not only did they see, not only did they believe, not only did they tell, but they rejoiced about it. Notice a personal rejoicing. Return glorifying and praising God. I thought about this. They returned, but they came back different than what they went. Now, they didn't go up to Bethlehem praising God. Huh? Oh, no. They went up there to investigate. They went up there to look at the and see if that message that God sent them was true. Could I say it was true? Their personal rejoicing, they returned, but they returned different than what they went. They was probably down there telling the sheep about it. I mean, could you imagine, man, they're just going along praising God and worshiping God. Hallelujah, we've seen the Son of God, we've seen the Savior, and we believe. I'm telling you, they came back. When you have a personal and private encounter with the Savior, it will change your life. Not only at salvation, but even in our service and our witness and in our life and our worship, when there's a personal encounter, it'll change your life. Not only did they return, but then notice they rejoiced. Christmas is over, now what? Just keep rejoicing. Just keep praising God. Just keep worshiping God. Listen, I don't know what those shepherds' circumstances were like. They were probably very meager. Be honest with you, they didn't have a whole lot to go back to but sheep. But they got to go back a lot different than when they left. Why? Because a personal and private encounter with the Savior. Yes, Christmas is over. The day has passed. And there may be some sitting in this building that may not get to see Christmas Day come again. Now, I pray that wouldn't happen, but we don't know. You may have celebrated your last Christmas on this side of eternity. Your last Christmas Day, it's over. Now what? Just keep living for God. He's as worthy to praise today as He was Tuesday. I thought about this, and I'm closing, I promise. But I thought about this, and it's wonderful to see the excitement and the enthusiasm and all that takes place. But what if we had that more often than just one day? We give and exchange gifts, and nothing wrong with that. But you know the first thing God wants you and I to give unto Him is ourselves. I thought about this, Brother Scotty, when you were teaching the lesson this morning. When those wise men came, the very first thing they gave was themselves. they worshiped him. And then the Bible says they presented unto him frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Is that not right? The first thing he wants is you. And if he gets you and he gets me, then he gets whatever else he needs or wants from us when he gets us. The question is, has he got you? He wants you. But does he have you? As we stand to our feet all over the building, Christmas is over. Now what? Father, we love you this morning. We thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you this morning for the living Word of God. And we thank you for the privilege to be here today. Lord, thank you for this good number on this Sunday morning after Christmas. And Lord, I do thank you for the day and the way that we celebrate your birth and all that takes place. But Lord, let me also realize today that there's other things that need to take place after the day is over. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be like these shepherds, even when the fear comes, that, Lord, I would move by faith. And then, Lord, see fruit of that faith by seeing and hearing and telling others about you. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to, we'd have a rejoicing in our hearts and our lives. Father, you're worthy. Boy, after that private and personal encounter, these shepherd boys just couldn't help but to praise and worship and glorify the God of heaven. And I pray right now in the stillness of this service this morning, there may be somebody here that you're giving a personal invitation to come and see. Lord, to come and experience a personal and a private encounter with the Son of God. I pray for someone here today lost, that God speak to that heart. And Lord, I know they're fearful in their heart, because Lord, I've been there. But Lord, may they overcome that fear by stepping out by faith. And then Lord, there may be others here that's been dealing with things in their heart and their lives. And Lord, I don't have any idea what that might be. Lord, every individual is different. Lord, but you know our lives, you know what we're dealing with. Lord, it may be personal issues. May be private to everybody else around us. But Lord, you know all about it. And maybe somebody needs to step out and by faith and come and cast it at Jesus' feet. Lord, you take the invitation, you use it. And Lord, we'll give you honor, we'll give you praise, we'll give you glory. Save that soul nearest hell. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed, as we play for just a moment before we...